It means half an hour. Who are we to say what it, you know, that's our, if we want to interpret it something differently, hey, go on with that, fine. But I'm going to believe what the Bible says, okay? I think it has more authority than you or I do. So all of heaven fell silent when these judgments began. And if you notice the progression as we go into these judgments, how they become worse and worse. Now, I believe we're at the, somewhere in the fourth. Let's just start reading in verse 13. Of course, the fourth trumpet judgment was whenever the third part of the sun was darkened, okay, the third part of the moon, and just a great darkness fell over the earth. And then we go in verse 13. I want to call your attention to this in verse 13 of chapter 8. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. You know, anytime you have an angel saying, woe, 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 yes, that's bad. Something big and something bad and something great is going to happen in here. And we're turned to chapter 9, and that's the sounding of the fifth trumpet. And it says here, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Some people might be saying right now, and this has happened before, wait a minute, there's an error. There's an error. The King James Bible has an error. Wasn't all the grass burned up? Grass grows back. You burn your grass and watch, it'll grow back. Right. Keep in mind, this is not happening all in one day. They've got 7 years for this to unfold. Right. Okay, so don't let nobody tell you, oh, there's an error. The Bible's got an error in it right there. It says that they were told not to eat the grass, and the grass was burning in chapter 8. It grew back. Don't let those fools tell you otherwise. It says there in verse 3 or verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death. Wow, watch this. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battles. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had the hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running the battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. So what we have here, the fifth trumpet sounding, and we got a very, very vivid image of what these creatures are going to look like. And some people may say, oh, surely that can't happen, can it? Hey, that's what it says is going to happen. Whether you want to interpret that as being symbolic, I interpret these are going to be creatures that are going to torment, as the Bible said, they're going to torment the inhabitants of this earth for 5 months, but they're not going to kill them. I've seen on the Discovery Channel, a bite of a scorpion can send a man into convulsions, foaming at the mouth, and go into a paralysis, a very painful, painful paralysis, but they don't die. Some do. Okay, from the scorpions. But the major, when you get stung by a scorpion, it's been described. I've never had one bite me, and I don't plan on traveling out there to find out what it's like. But it's been described as one of the most painful experiences that somebody can ever go through. A bite of a single scorpion. And these aren't your ordinary scorpions, if you caught on to that. Okay? It says here, I mean, I noticed right away, and they had hair as the hair of women. I mean, that's probably true, because it took them 2,000 years to get ready for this. So, that's a joke. Okay. Ah, ha, ha, ha. That went over like a sack of lead. But here, it's described here, and it's a horrible picture that is given to us here. And I believe that that's what these locusts are going to look like. Hey, there's been talks and over there in other countries where and Newsweek or whatever, where locusts have actually taken out entire fields, entire cities, and they're very, very dangerous creatures. They're coming right from hell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
And these aren't. And if you notice, that's right. If you notice, like the locusts of today. The locusts of today, you know, they eat the green stuff. They eat the fields. They eat the crops. I read back in the Old Testament, and it didn't go over too good for them either, okay? But now they're told, don't eat the green stuff.
Right.
They're going to torment the men, but not just all the men. If you recall, we talked about there's going to be some inhabitants of the earth who are saved during this time period. Okay, there's going to be the remnant that's left behind, 144,000. They're going to be preaching the gospel, and many multitudes of Gentiles alike are going to be saved. They're going to be protected. God always protects his own.
Yes.
There's a big application here, not just in end time study, but in your everyday life. When you think all is lost, when you think you have nothing else to hold on to, you got the Rock of Ages to hold on to, buddy.
Yes.
Whenever you think your health is gone, you lost your job, your wife or your husband left you, hey, you got the one sure thing that's never going to leave you. So, I mean, we're taught a very powerful lesson here. God protects his own. If you're a child of God today, you have God's protection upon you. And that doesn't mean that your life's going to be a bed of roses either.
Right.
Because roses have thorns. And you're going to get stuck by one of them one time.
Right.
Let's keep that promise. That's a promise right there. God's going to protect his own. So that judgment passed, the fifth judgment, and just constant torment for 5 months. And it says there, I thought this was really it caught my attention. They try to die, yet they cannot die. Man has no control. God's in control. They can't even control their own death. God, the Almighty God of this universe, is in control. That's right. So here we have this fifth judgment wrapping up. And I want to show you now going on to the sixth one. And the sixth trumpet is ready to sound. And there's that angel in verse 12. And woe is past. One woe is past. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This is some serious stuff. I mean, you have an angel that is just proclaiming, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of this earth. And I think this should call our, really capture us for the moment and let us realize that we still have time. There's still time left. It's rapidly escaping, but there's still time, nonetheless, to do something. Yeah, I know we're saved. We're not going to go through this, but I keep calling your attention to it. I think that if anything else that you get this out of this book of Revelation is that you just have a fervent desire to see that no one else goes through this. Because I don't want to go to heaven having the people's blood on my hands who I came across who I did nothing about. That clerk at the gas station, the lady at the Giant Eagle, we are there, we have the answer, yet we don't say anything. God help us. Let us do something about it while we still can. So here are the sixth trumpet, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, the sixth angel, which has the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of the men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's not a typo, by the way. 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Watch this. Remember, I believe it was a fourth of the population has already been destroyed, and the current population around 6 billion. By the way, who told Liz that joke that I said last time about the 0.5? I got in trouble for it. I thought it was somebody. She came up. I got hit in both shoulders. Oh, that's who it was. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, I'm not speaking in tongues here. Okay, the current population is la 0.5. And I said, well, good, they counted Liz in. Okay, but then somebody went and tattled on me. So we had a fourth of the population destroyed previously in one of the judgments. And now here with this great army, these of the horsemen, the horses from hell, if you will, by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Buddy, the smell of sulfur alone is enough to kill a person. But look at this here, these horses, these vivid creatures that are described. and a third of the population left is destroyed. Where does that bring us? If we're down to probably about a half, if a third of what was left is demolished, we're down to less than 3 billion people left. Well, if you assuming that number is accurate, I mean, people are going to be raptured out. So, I mean, that number is going to be even lower than that. So a lot of the people have been killed. And the sad thing is that they thought it was bad. They thought what they went through on Earth was bad with those locusts that stung. But then they all of a sudden realize that they're in hell. What they went through a hell on earth just to wake up in a hell for eternity.
Yes, which is far greater.
That's right. Just something for you to think about this morning. You know, these folks here are thinking, well, it can't get worse than this, but it's going to. That's why we got to do something now.
Amen. At verse 16, Josh, 200 million.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what, one for every 10 or something. If you say about 2 billion, that's about one for every 10. Ooh, they're going to call 911. Nobody's going to answer. They're going to call their senator and congressman. Well, the senators and congressmen, they're probably still here. We know the senator from New York is. Oh, I'm moving on. Cut that from the tape. Okay, here we go. All right, so we go on here. These horrible horses, and I want to call your attention. I'm flying through this. I know, but for the sake of time, this is what I want to show you. Here, going on these horses, and then if you read starting in verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Even in all that's going on right now, death is facing the world unlike any time before, judgments unlike any time before, yet they repented not. Don't buy the devil's lie that I'll just wait and I'll get saved then. You're not. You're not. You're going to fall for a great deceit. Right there, again, the proof has been laid out in every single chapter, I believe. Right here again, another example. They repented not. The people who are going through these judgments, they continue to curse the God that created them.
Yes.
They turned to drugs. They turned to fornication. They continued murdering and stealing. They worshipped the devils and their idols. By the way, an idol doesn't necessarily have to be some big statue. An idol could be your car. An idol could be your job. An idol could be your hobby. Anything that takes precedence over God, that's an idol. It doesn't have to be something that's specifically carved out for you to worship. A lot of us, we worship our jobs. A lot of us, we worship our sports. A lot of us, we worship. There's a lot of Christians who worship their money. That's sad whenever their money could be going to something else, like helping spread the gospel. I forget how many thousands of dollars the one gentleman needs so we can buy those tracks for the send them to China. Hey, that's a good place for you to put your money. That door is going to close pretty soon. The door over there in China is open for the Olympics right now. Let's get the gospel in there. Really? Amen. Amen. Well, let's keep raising, because I want to give to that too. I wanted to, let's send more tracks over there. I mean, that's an opportunity. I don't think it's going to be with us much longer.
Oh, no.
I really don't. It's going to close down just like Russia's closing down.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, we have a rare opportunity. Let's jump on that bandwagon. Let's get those tracks over there.
Yeah.
That's right.
China's coming over with
Army. Yeah, the army from the east.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I don't know any countries could have 200 soldiers in Calgary.
Right.
Because most countries only 200 million.
Right. No, I believe you. I believe you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just to think that a third of the population itself is going to be killed by them, completely demolished.
Right.
But it's, folks, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. But I want to make sure everybody around me is not going to be here either.
Amen.
So let's go on. We're moving right along. Again, this is a lot more deeper than what I'm giving. We're just, for time's sake, my point here today and for the rest of this is just to get you have a desire to realize that there's still time. You can still do something.
Yes.
To give you a basic understanding of the revelation, because, preacher, there's so much stuff. I mean, it goes on. We're scraping the surface right now. But, I mean, it's for the sake of time. I just wanted you to get a desire in your heart, not one where somebody says, you got to do this. Okay, that's where you have a God-given desire that you want to see people saved. Because God's going to bless that. And so that's my whole point for this. I hope you're catching on to that as we go. But let's go on into chapter 10, moving right along to it. Here in chapter 10, and I believe this is there's different interpretations of this, but I'll tell you my belief. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now in the Old Testament, a lot of times Jesus Christ was called an angel, not an angel in the sense that he's one of the created creature. Jesus Christ was not created. Okay, he always was and always will be. He's part of the Alpha and the Omega, okay? He's part of the Godhead. But I believe that this angel, based upon reading the Old Testament, I believe this angel might be Christ. I'm not going to tell you for certain. I don't know for certain. I believe it is. Or if it's not, it's a very important angel, okay? And the reason I'm treading very carefully on this is because Jehovah's Witnesses, they call Christ an angel. And he's not an angel in that sense, okay? He's not an angel where God had to create him. I want to make myself perfectly clear on that. I don't want you to misread what I'm saying. So if it's not Christ, it's a very important messenger nonetheless, okay? So here it says, and I'll tell you my reasoning for this too. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. He's going to appear in the clouds. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Remember the rainbow previously we talked about? I think it was Revelation 4 or 5. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun. And that was a description from chapter 1. Okay? Can you look into the sun, by the way? When it's really a beautiful day, can you go outside and look in the sun? Oh my goodness. Oh, you squint. I think that's what it's going to be like when we look at Jesus. We're going to fall down, okay? We're not going to be able to look at that. Those eyes are just pierced through our soul. And so, and as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. We had another description of his feet previously. Well, the time is going. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. That's the Roman symbol of victory, by the way. The Romans, after they would conquer a location, if it was by the waterfront, they put one foot in the water, one foot on the sand. So it's a sign of conquering. You know, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You know, we're going to be the victors. That's exciting. And it says here, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, these are the judgments that we aren't told what they are. These are the seven thunder judgments. We had the seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, the seven thunder judgments. And I want you to see something. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants and servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So here's something that we couldn't understand. These seven thunders, these judgments that were going to take place, these seven thunder judgments, for whatever reason, we're not told what they are. John is told to take that book and eat it up. And, you know, it's interesting. The book was both bitter and sweet, wasn't it? It was bitter in his stomach, sweet in his mouth. You know, I drew up four conclusions about that. Three different things. You know, we're supposed to feed on the Word of God and make this prophecy a part of it, but we have no right to neglect it. You know, if we read this, let's not neglect it, because this is some bitter stuff in here. But you can have a sweet result out of it. If you take and apply it, I know what we're reading is bitter. People are going to die. But we can make it sweet.
Yeah.
People don't have to go through this.
Yeah.
And it's both bitter and sweet also in the sense that there's a bitterness anytime you mention Jesus. And also, if you look at it too, the gospel, it's sweet and bitter. You go out witnessing to people. You present the gospel. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes a lot of Coolidge, like that man that you and Eddie were able to lead. That's sweet. Sometimes people have a hatred for the gospel. They have a hatred for Christ. And that's the bitter part. Christianity is full of bitterness, but also sweetness. And thank the Lord, the sweetness outweighs the bitterness. It really does. Yes. Well, what happens here, the seventh trumpet judgment, within each of the seventh one, it contains the next round of judgments. So these are this opening of the seven thunder judgments. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right. But we're not told what those seven thunder judgments are. We're told, you know, John's ready to write. Because he's been told, John, you write these things down. Okay? Further proof that it's inspiration of the scriptures. He's commanded what to write. And he has the pen in his hand, if you will. He's ready to write these down, but he's told, don't write it. I'm paraphrasing. You know, it's beyond comprehension what's going to happen. Ho, ho, ho. If what we've just read previously about these judgments, and that this is going to be so, I'm assuming, utterly horrible, that it's beyond our comprehension. I can't even imagine what could be worse than what's already happening. So, I mean, we're told here as these seven, you know, we have these rounds of judgments, the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and then we have this vacancy, if you will, because we don't know what they are, seven thunder judgments, which, you know, John is told, don't write those. People aren't going to be able to comprehend what's going to go on. So it's a mystery what's going to happen. But after, you know, we have what would be the seven thunders, after that is the final round of judgments, which is the seven vial judgments. Or if you will, like a bowl, God pouring his wrath out on the earth. So there's really four rounds of judgments. Three of them are given to us. Before the final round, the thunder judgments, we're not told what they are. And I'm not going to venture out to try and guess what they are, because we have no, there's nothing in the Bible that's going to insinuate what they are. We're not given that. That's right. And there's a lot of people who try to fill those voids in, and we have no authority to do that.
Amen.
No authority at all. No, none whatsoever. I wouldn't give 10 cents for somebody who tries to fill a void in the Bible, because there are no voids.
Right.
It's perfect. Okay?
Right.
Like you, that's good. Where the Bible's silent, we also should be silent. If it's not there, don't make it there.
Right.
I want to leave you with a quick story. There was, I don't know where I heard this at, but I'm trying to encourage you through this. We read some bitter stuff, and I think we can turn it around. You know, this bitter stuff that's in the. And when I say bitter, I'm not talking like it's bad. I'm talking it's going to be awful what these people are going through. Okay, but the Bible gives us a chance to look ahead at what's going to happen, and we sit here and think, oh, that's going to be awful. But we have a chance. We have an opportunity to make it sweet. And I recall a story of there was an atheist preaching, not preaching, they don't preach. There was an atheist talking at a college, Northwest University, I don't know, somewhere. And he had a huge auditorium just full of students who came up there to see this atheist. I wouldn't have went. I probably would have said something I would have regretted. But there was an atheist there, and he began to proceed to tell why God does not exist. Why God is there could not possibly be a God. And he gave all of his foolish reasons and all of his lies. And he said, if there is a God in this universe, a God who controls this world, let him knock me off the stage right now. That's what he said. This devout atheist standing before on the stage, an auditorium full of people, saying, if there is a God, take me out, knock me down. Go ahead, God. Prove that you're here if you're really here. Not a peep, not a single peep in the whole congregation or wherever they were at. Nobody said anything. Nobody's like, oh, wow, this is that. Oh, he gave a challenge to God. Over there in the corner, the Northeast or Northwest football team just got done with their practice. And there was number 83. He still had his shoulder pads on, his helmet, and he heard what that atheist said. And number 83, a born-again believer, active in his local church, Baptist church, and he stood there, and he got fired up. And he charged up on that stage, head down, nailed that atheist, flung him right off the stage, knocked the sense right out. He didn't know what happened. He's under, why'd you do that? Number 83 said, God was busy. He sent me. And I want to leave you with that today. It's a great illustration. God sent you. I wonder how many number 83s are out here today, preacher. I wonder how many people are waiting to hear you, number 83. I wonder how many people are just a breath away from going to a hell that wasn't made for them. I wonder how many people are, or how many seconds we have till the trumpet sounds when the people who are left behind are going to go through a hell on earth, only to find that it gets worse. There's a hell underneath the earth, too. Be a number 83. Amen. Take a stand, okay? Preacher?
He's doing a great job, isn't he?
I'll add one more to that, Josh, and then we'll break. I thought, this is another true story, the one you were telling. There was an atheist, and he had a whole, like they're at some college or something. This is a true story. He said, if there's a God, let him kill me right now. And when he said it, a little gnat got down his throat. Right after he said it, choked him to death, and he died. But let me say something to you. God doesn't have to send a gnat, and I thank God for 83, but God don't have to send 83. I mean, what we should, he's still God. God don't have to prove to the atheists that he's the God. You look at the creation. God says, I'm the creator. The firmament declare the handiwork of God. Let's close with that scripture. Psalms 19:1. Look at Psalms 19:1. You're doing a tremendous job, Josh. I think you're doing an outstanding job. I'm really proud of you. Young fellow, I asked him the other day, how'd you get all your teaching? He said, I just study. I said, that's good. Keep doing it. I'm glad 83 knocked him over. And Brother Josh, if I'd have been there, I probably would have jumped up there, because I'm usually a guy that, I'm like a Peter. I'm usually to take a sword. I'm ready to grab my sword and chop people's ear off and everything else. It's in me. There are certain types of people. I'm one of those guys. But God, even if God wouldn't have took 83, but I'm glad he did, he would still have been God. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalms 19:1, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When you look up and you see the sun, the stars, the moon, God's saying, hello. Every morning that sun rises, God's saying, hello, earth, giving you another day. Moon goes, God says, all right, I'm going to give you another night to rest. Are you still with me? Oh, and you look, how many of you ever just looked, how many have been in some beautiful summer nights and you just look out and it seems like there's millions of stars in the, up there in the galaxy. You say, wow, how did they all get there? The Bible says, and I say, God just flung them out with a spade. That's how big God is. Why don't they run into each other? Why don't they collide? Yep. God keeps everything. One last scripture, and I'll close. Colossians 1:16. It says, by him everything consists. That atheist better hope that God never ceased to exist. Because of that, if God would ever cease to exist, all this stuff would be, we would be gone. We would just, there would be nothing. Even this earth. By God, by him, Colossians 1:16, if I remember right, all things exist and consist. Okay. Father, we thank you for the great study that we're learning with Brother Josh. He's doing a tremendous job. Thank you for our young preacher boy, Lord. Continue to use him to bless us in the study of the book of Revelation. Bless now in the next service we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll break for 5 minutes or 2 or 3 minutes, whatever.